Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of truth, the word of the living God, which cannot fail. We pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit, who authored this book through human instruments, that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and our ears and our minds to behold wonderful things. Father, encourage the saints of God in this matter of faith. Convict any here who are not yet in the faith, who are not yet believers, who are not yet born again believers in Christ. Convict them of their need. Father, the Holy Spirit is the one who does these things, and we pray, God, that while he works, Lord, you will bind the enemy from his work of snatching the seed of the word out of hearts. So, Father, we pray this for the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the building of your church, your kingdom. And we pray this in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Mike said, we're in our study in Romans. The Apostle Paul is presenting his magisterial presentation of the gospel of the grace of God. How a lost sinner, condemned, unclean, is made right with God. God in sheer grace justifies the believing sinner, declares the believing sinner to be righteous in his sight. Apart from works, human merit, but through faith. And the chief example of justification by faith is Abraham. Abraham, the Old Testament believer, to whom God made an astounding promise. And Abraham believed God when there was no earthly reason to do so. And God reckoned righteousness to Abraham on the basis of faith in the Word of God, faith in the promise of God. The Bible says eternal life is a gift received by faith in the crucified, risen Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But, beloved, faith does not end there. Faith, whereby we enter the Christian life, we're born again by faith. It's not a period. It's a starting point, if you will, a period with a line and an arrow going on and going on throughout life. Those saved by grace through faith continue to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, very clear. We walk as believers. We walk by faith, not by sight. So after showing here in Romans 4, in the opening verses, which we previously considered, how Abraham was justified by faith alone, Paul now fills out the picture of what faith continued to look like in the life of Abraham. The faith that initially saves a person, grace saves, but it's appropriated by faith, justification by faith, and then that faith that the believer continues to walk in. This is critical for us, brothers and sisters. Why? Because it is faith that pleases God. In fact, the Bible says, without faith, get this, without faith, it is what? Impossible to what? Please God. Hebrews 11:6. I need this, and I believe we all need it. So let's look this morning at some characteristics of true faith, of genuine biblical faith. Now, this message this morning, this is certainly not all that can be said about true faith. We're just going to scratch the surface. But here in this text that was read for us are some of the characteristics of genuine biblical faith. Notice, first of all, the first characteristic of true faith is this. True faith is a response to the character of God. True faith is a response to the character of God. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you in the sight of him whom he believed, even God. The outstanding characteristic of Abraham's faith was this. It was God-centered. Not man-centered, but God-centered. True faith is God-centered. True faith is a response to the character and the person of God. It says here, whom he believed, even God. When it comes to faith, the object of one's faith, the object of one's faith is critical. It's the critical component. And herein lies the essential difference between what is sometimes referred to as faith, quotation marks around the word faith, what is often referred to as faith in our world, and what the Bible calls true, biblical, God-pleasing faith. Most faith, quote-unquote, is man-centered faith, not God-centered. For example, many people think, well, if I believe something strongly enough, then what I want will happen. That's just superstition. That's not biblical faith. That's not true faith at all. That's superstitious thinking. If I just believe something hard enough, it'll happen. Or if I just have more faith, everything will turn out all right in this situation. Or if I just think enough positive thoughts, right? The power of positive thinking. Then this will all turn around. That's not true biblical faith. That's faith in one's faith. What good is that? It's faith in one's feelings, opinions, rather than God and what He has said. I looked up a book in my library called The Dictionary of Quotations. It's just, you can look up any word, anything you could think of, and it'll just list how people in the world, and sometimes there's biblical things in there, have defined certain ideas. So I looked up faith. Mark Twain said, as one of these many definitions, he said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. Well, that's just irrational fantasy. That we just kind of disengage our mind and just, it's believing what you know ain't so, but you're just going to hope hard enough and try to cause it to happen. Hope hard enough that it may happen. That's man-centered. That's man-centered thinking. True faith is God-centered. It's rational trust in a faithful, powerful, sovereign God. That's why knowledge of the character of God, knowledge of the attributes of God, knowledge of the promises of God, knowledge of the truth of God is absolutely essential, foundational to true faith. As A.W. Tozer says in his wonderful book, Knowledge of the Holy, which is a study in the attributes of God, the first sentence in the book is this, quote, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. The better you know God, get this, the better you and I know God, the more you and I will trust Him, the stronger your faith will become. Psalm 91, verse 10, put it in your notes. Those who know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. And when the Bible refers to the name of God, it's a reference to His character. It's a reference to His attributes. It's more than just what He is called. It's referring to who He is as a person. Faith is your response to the character of God. Now, what did Abraham believe about God? What did Abraham understand and believe about God? Notice verse 17. A father of many nations have I made you. That was the promise. In the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who, number one, gives life to the dead, and number two, calls into being that which does not exist. A God who gives life to the dead, that's resurrection, and who calls into being that which does not exist. He's able to create from nothing. He brings into existence that which does not exist. In other words, God is powerful. He's the God who can raise the dead. He's the God who calls into being that which does not exist. And verse 21, if you just drop down a couple verses, it says, Abraham was fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God made a promise and God cannot lie. He is faithful to his word and he is able to accomplish his promise. So there you have it. What did Abraham believe? That he was coming up against and coming to, rather, a God who cannot lie, who makes promises, and he cannot lie. And secondly, he is powerful and able to accomplish what he promises. Those are not small things, are they? In fact, if you would believe those, when you believe those things, that when what God says is true and faithful and cannot lie, his promises, his word, and secondly, that he is all powerful to do what he says he will do, to even created the worlds out of nothing, raises the dead, then everything else is small potatoes when it comes to faith, when it comes to the promises of God. Review for just a moment the life of Abraham. God called Abraham to leave his country, Ur of the Chaldees, present-day Iraq, and to go to a land that God would show him. Abraham went out, Genesis 12:4. He obeyed. God said he would bless Abraham. He would bless him. Then, in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham's about 85 years of age, and God said he would give him descendants as the stars of heaven. And Abraham believed God. But then Abraham and Sarah take matters into their own hands. God seemed to be delaying in the promise. Was this ever going to happen? If anything's going to happen in terms of descendants, we'll have to take matters into our own hands. Sarah, maybe trying to prove who's really the problem here. Is it you, Abraham? Are you the sterile one or is it me? And she gives Hagar, her handmaid, to her husband and he fathers a child. And boy, you can believe Sarah was really upset now. And it really showed that she had been kind of the one, maybe why they hadn't had children. But they took matters into their own hands. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's plan. And God let them wait another 14 years or so until Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 89. And God came and said, next year, Sarah is going to have a child by you. And Isaac was born just as God said. And Abraham believed God, the God who gives life to the dead, the deadness of his own body, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And that God would bring descendants as the stars of heaven into existence. He believed in the God who is trustworthy, the God who cannot lie, and who is powerful and able to do what he promised. Put in your notes Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Do you believe this? Do I believe this? Nothing is too difficult for God, that he cannot lie, that he is able to do what he promises. Faith is a response to the character of God. Secondly, faith is a response to the will of God. Faith is a response to the will of God. Verse 17, God said, a father of many nations have I made you. That was God's promise to him. A father of many nations I have made you. God's purpose for Abraham, God's will, God's promise was that he would become a father of many nations. And verse 18 says, in hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations. Abraham believed God's word. Here's the definition of faith. Here's a pretty good definition of faith. Taking God at his word and acting upon it. Taking God at his word and acting upon it. True faith is operative. Get this. True faith is operative
When we know God's purpose, when we know God's will, when we know God's promise, and we believe it and act upon it. Faith is a response to the will of God, the promise of God, the purpose of God for you and me. Now let's apply this. What is God's will? What is God's purpose? What is God's promise, if you will, to us? Well, it begins with this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. Romans 10:13. What is God's will, God's purpose, God's promise? That the one who comes in faith and trust, believing in the only Savior, God says, you will be saved. I will forgive you. I will receive you. I will make you one of my own. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That is God's desire, His will, His purpose. 2 Peter 3:9. To be saved, we must believe the Word of God, the promise of God, and put our faith in Christ. But what do we find today? What do we find today in contrast to God's command, His invitation to put faith in the will, the purpose, the promise of God in Scripture concerning His Son? What do we hear? What do we find today? Well, I just feel that God will accept people if they're sincere in what they believe. I just think that maybe those in the Muslim faith or who have some other understanding of a path to God, that if they're sincere, God will accept them. What is that? That's not biblical faith. That's not true faith. Because that's not God's promise. That's not God's word. That's not God's will. That's man-centered thinking. Well, I just believe whatever religion, whatever their path they're on, if they're good moral people, if I'm a good moral person, God will accept me. See, that's not faith because that's not in accordance with the Word of God. Faith is a response to the will of God. It's not a response to one's feelings or opinions, what I think is right, what I think is reasonable. What I think should happen, the way I think things should go, the way I think God should work it out in the world or in my life. See, and so this principle applies to believers as well, not just to those whom God calls to Himself in faith to believe in the Savior, but it works out in our lives as believers as we continue in the walk of faith. Have you ever said something like this? You know, man, I had faith that I would get that job. And I didn't get it. What's up with that? I prayed in faith for healing for my loved one. And it didn't happen. And we can become discouraged, disheartened, frustrated, doubting. See, and this is real life, isn't it? This is where we live. This is where we live. This isn't easy. Because we've all thought that. Well, Lord, you said come to you in faith. And I asked for this and it didn't happen. But what is God's will? What is God's purpose? What is God's promise? Faith is a response to the will, promise, and purpose of God. So as we search the Scripture, we begin to discover God's will and promise and purpose for us as believers. Let me just mention some. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. No matter the situation, no matter how dark the day, no matter how difficult the situation, my purpose, my plan, my purpose, my will for you is I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God promises when it looks like, where's the next thing we need going to come from? I will supply your needs. Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. In the difficult things, in the hard to understand things, God's promise, His purpose, His will is He's going to cause all of this to work together for good, to His glory and for our good. How about Philippians 4:7? God gives peace that passes understanding in the midst of the storm. Or John 14:27, the promise of Jesus, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. These are just some of the promises, some of the purposes of God, His will for the believer. But we must take God at His word and act upon it. You see, faith is my response to the will of God, to the promise of God, to the purpose of God. Faith is not persuading God. Get this. Faith is not me persuading God to see things my way. No, rather faith enables me to see things God's way. The life of faith is discovering the will of God in the Scripture. The life of faith is discovering His purpose for me, His promises to me, and then submitting myself to that will, to those promises, to that purpose. Faith is cooperating with God in what He is doing in my life. And what is His ultimate purpose for us, beloved? What is God's ultimate purpose? What is God's ultimate will? To give us everything we want? To do everything the way we think it should be done? No. God's purpose, God's will, is that He would make us like Jesus Christ. And oftentimes, that's through the difficulties. It's through the stuff we don't understand. But we continue to trust. We believe His purpose. We believe His word. We believe His promise. And thereby bring glory to God. Faith is a response to the character of God. Faith is a response to the will of God. Thirdly, true faith continues to trust in God despite adverse circumstances. Verse 18, true faith continues to trust in God despite adverse circumstances. Notice verse 18, in hope against hope, he believed. In hope against hope. And you could put a little parenthesis there just to help you remember. In hope against human hope, he believed. When there was no human hope, he believed in hope. Sarah, as we said earlier, Abraham was 99. Sarah was 89 when God said, a father of many nations, have I made you? That's very interesting. A father of many nations, not will I, but have I made you? It hadn't happened yet. God said, it's good as done, Abraham, because I'm the God who cannot lie. And I'm the God that's able to make that happen. Sarah was barren. Almost 90 when God made that promise. Had never born a child. Abraham as good as dead. He was beyond the possibility of normal procreation. Fathering a child. Everything was against it, humanly speaking, right? An impossible situation. Yet God says, a father of many nations I have made you. Abraham, it's as good as done. And Abraham believed God. True faith continues to trust in God despite adverse circumstances. It says, in hope he believed. What is hope? What is hope? Hope is confident assurance, not wishful thinking. It's confident assurance that God will fulfill His promise. Hope. Don't forget, years before, God had made a promise. Your descendants will be like the stars of the sky. Genesis 15, verse 3. And then year after year after year went by. Nothing happened. As we said earlier, Abraham and Sarah take matters into their own hands, right? And he fathers a child by the servant girl when he's 85 years of age. But God's will, God's plan, God's purpose was that Sarah would be the one through whom the promised seed would come. But she's barren. So God let them wait and wait and wait. When there was no earthly way this could ever happen, God comes and says, "A father of many nations, I have made you." Beloved, here's the point. Sometimes God puts us in situations where we have no choice, no option, but to trust Him. Why? Because the natural tendency of our hearts is to trust anything other than God. The natural tendency of the human heart is to trust, rather to not trust Him unless we absolutely have to. As long as we have things figured out, as long as we have the money to pay the bills, as long as we have the good health to keep going, you and I will be slow to fully trust our God. But faith is what pleases God. Faith that doesn't see how this is going to work out. Faith that doesn't understand how we're going to make it. But faith trusts in a God who promises to care and provide and guide despite what it looks like. So God puts us in situations where we have no option but to trust Him. Like someone said, when you come to the end of your rope, that's where God is. Fourth characteristic of true faith. True faith anchors to the God who made the promises. True faith anchors to the God who made the promises. Verses 19 to 21. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham's circumstances were not just difficult. They weren't just adverse. They weren't just contrary. Frankly, they were impossible. Are you in a situation where it just seems impossible right now? Notice it says, he contemplated, verse 19, his own body, now as good as dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham saw the facts of the situation. He saw the human impossibility, the human hopelessness, if you will, of his situation. But what did he do? He believed God. He looked at his own body and said, this is impossible. He looked at Sarah and said, she's 90 years old. It's impossible. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. He believed God. Now stop a moment. Very important. Some think, well, faith like this is just ignoring reality. It's just irrational. This kind of faith you're talking about is just irrational thinking, right? No, not at all. Some people say, well, faith is just disengaging your brain and just ignoring the circumstances or just taking a blind leap of faith, right? You've heard that. Just a blind leap of faith. No. Truth is, nothing is more rational than to believe God even in the face of impossible circumstances. As Pastor Kent Hughes writes, quote, Abraham weighed the human impossibility of becoming a father against the divine impossibility of God being able to break his word, unquote. Abraham, it says, contemplated his own body as good as dead. He weighed the human impossibility against the divine impossibility of God ever lying. He said, well, you know, humanly speaking, there's no way. But with God and his word, all things are possible. Titus 1:2. The Bible says God cannot lie. His word cannot be broken. And we saw earlier in verse 21, Abraham was assured of two things: the promise of God and the ability of God to do it. Here's the secret of Abraham's faith, beloved. Here is the secret of Abraham's faith. He focused on the promise, so he was not overwhelmed by the problem. He focused on the God of the promise, so he was not overwhelmed and swamped by the problem. Focus on the promise of God, the God of the promise, and you'll not be overwhelmed by the problem. You might turn back in your Bibles to Matthew, first book in the New Testament. Let's look at another illustration of this kind of faith, for a moment at least, this kind of faith. Matthew 14, you remember the story. It's Peter. Jesus came to the disciples one time walking on the water. They're frightened. They think it's a ghost. Verse 26, Jesus identifies himself. He says, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And here's bold Peter. Verse 28, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. That's a command and it is a promise. Was God telling him to come? Peter, I just can't wait, Peter, to watch you sink in the waves. No. God said, Peter, here's my promise. Come to me. And Peter believed for a while, didn't he? Let's give Peter some recognition, if you will. He walked on the water. But seeing the wave, the wind, verse 30, he became afraid. Seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him and said, oh, you of little faith. Not no faith, but you of little faith. Why did you doubt? He got his eyes off the God of the promise. And the problem just began to swamp him. And so it is with you and me. So it is with you and me. Spurgeon said, look at yourself and your doubts will increase. Look at Jesus and they will disappear. So with respect to the promise of God, do you believe God when he says, I'll give you strength. I will give you grace in that impossible situation. Because my promise is my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. When everyone says, oh, give up. It's foolish. It's foolish to keep believing. It's foolish to keep serving this God. And you look at your circumstances and you look at the way things are going. But you keep trusting. You keep believing. Because true faith continues to trust even in the face of adverse, difficult, yes, impossible situations, humanly speaking. Faith always stands with God and His Word, even when doing so appears foolish from a human perspective. True faith is anchored to the God who made the promises. Number five, true faith is a growing faith. True faith is a growing faith. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. He did not waver in unbelief. Now we need to stop there a moment because it would could lead us to believe that Abraham's faith was perfect, that his consistency was 100%, and we know that wasn't true, right? There were times Abraham stumbled, but he didn't waver in unbelief. He didn't waver. The overall course of his life, the overall direction, the overall pattern of his life was trusting and obeying God. It wasn't easy for Abraham. Say, well, Abraham's this great example of walking by faith. How could I ever live like that? Wait a minute. Abraham was flesh and blood like we are. Wasn't easy. Wasn't easy. Genesis 15, God came and said, you're going to be great. And Abraham says, Lord, I'm childless. Lord, I don't understand this. My heir is this foreigner, this Eliezer of Damascus. He struggled with how it would work out, but he did not give in to unbelief. There were many things Abraham did not understand, but he continued to believe and trust God. Remember Mary? As a virgin, the angel, Gabriel comes to her. Said, Mary, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And how can this be, since I'm a virgin? She didn't understand. The angel explained it would be the Holy Spirit. And she said, be it unto me according to the word, the promise. Someone said, godly faith is not having full understanding, but full trust. Godly faith is not having full understanding, but full trust. John Calvin said, the great reformer said, the heart of a believer is never so established that there are no misgivings. Nevertheless, it says Abraham here did not waver in unbelief. He walked with God. And as he walked with God, his faith and his trust, what does it say there in verse 20? He grew strong in faith. He grew strong in faith. The Bible says we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. God's desire, beloved, for you and me is that we grow in faith. We grow in trust. What does the song say? Oh, for grace, what? To trust Him more. To grow stronger in faith. All right, how does faith grow? It says here, Abraham grew strong in faith. How does that happen for you and me? How did it happen for Abraham? Well, the Bible says, Romans 10:17, if you were to turn back a few pages, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we study the Word, and the more we study it, the more we learn of God. And we find faith growing. Our hearts are strengthened in grace and faith. And remember, it's not merely hearing the Word, James tells us, but doing the Word. Doing the Word. We must put it into practice. I have a treadmill in my basement. Why are you laughing? I can sit and look at that treadmill all day and study it and how it's made and never get on it, and it'll do me absolutely zippo. Right? What do I need to do? I need to submit myself to that treadmill. I need to get on it and exercise what that thing is designed to do. It's that way with the Word of God. Submit myself to it. Do what it says. Commit myself to it. And faith begins to grow. Faith begins to grow. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Believe it. Obey it. Live it. Do it. How else does faith grow stronger? It begins with the Word of God. Hey, you may not like this next one, but drop down to chapter 5 of Romans. We'll look at this in a coming message, Lord willing. Verse 3, not only this, we also exalt, we rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation, trouble, difficulty, hardship brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings proven character, and proven character, hope. Isn't it interesting here in our text with Abraham, it says in verse 18 of chapter 4, in hope against hope, he believed hope. And God says, how does hope and faith, how are they strengthened? Because faith and hope are tied together. They're linked inseparably. How does it grow stronger? Through the Word of God. Through trouble. Through trouble. Tribulation, trouble, tests. God brings them not to destroy us, but to strengthen us. Over Abraham's lifetime, God gave him tests. Right? Think of them. Abraham, leave your country where you're settled, where you're established, where life is good. Go to a place you've never seen. Go to where I'm showing you. You think that was easy for Abraham? And then he gets there, and he's not there very long, and there's a famine in the land. There's not enough to eat. Genesis 12, verse 10. That wasn't easy. So he goes down to Egypt where he encounters a potentially hostile Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Scary. Abraham got himself in a little hot water on that one. And then there's the conflict, another test, a conflict with his nephew Lot, who in the land of promise takes the best part of the country and leaves his elder Abraham with the leftovers. Was that easy for Abraham when God had called him to the promised land? Oh, those inner family relationships can be so difficult. He struggled. But beloved, all of those, what were they doing? Preparing Abraham for what? The supreme test when God said, Genesis 22, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him up on a mountain I will show you, and offer him as a burnt offering to me. Did he struggle with that? Of course he struggled with that. But throughout his life, he had seen God to be utterly faithful. He had seen God to be a God who fulfilled his promise. A God who could be trusted. And in his tests, in his trials leading up to that great trial, he had obeyed. He had grown. His faith had grown. And how did he ultimately conclude and submit himself to offering up his son, which, by the way, God stopped him when the knife was ready to be placed into the chest of his son. God stopped him. What was the conclusion Abraham had come to? Hebrews 11:19. He, Abraham, considered that God is able to raise men from the dead. He had seen it in his own body physically. He knew he could trust this God. God cannot lie. God had made a promise. And this doesn't make sense, God, what you're asking me to do, what you're asking me to walk through. It makes no sense, but I believe you because you cannot lie. And you're good. Beloved, you will find the more you trust God and the more you walk obediently and humbly through those tests that God is leading you through. Through those tests, whatever they are, financial, relational, health. And as God leads you through these tests, what is God doing? He's strengthening your faith as you look to Him. That's God's purpose. There may be some big test out there that you and I don't even know about. And God takes His children. He leads them through. And God His purpose is, as it was for Abraham, to grow us, to strengthen us in faith, as it says in verse 20, thereby giving glory to God. His ultimate purpose. Do you believe in God and trust Him as Abraham did? Someone said, a good measure of how much spiritual truth we believe is how long is our worry list. Do you believe God like this? Today, beloved, hear me. On this side of the resurrection, Abraham was on the other side of the cross in the resurrection, but on this side of the resurrection, and now having a complete Bible, think of it. Abraham had no Bible. Is there any excuse for unbelief? Is there any excuse for doubt? Do you believe? Like Abraham did? Friends, may it be the desire of our hearts to trust God. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Saturate our mind. Let's saturate our minds in the Word of God, in the promises of God, in the character of God, in the purpose of God. So that when tests come, designed by God to lead us along, to strengthen us step by step in these tests, to grow our faith, we will bring glory to God. You may be here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ personally. That is step one for you. You're not even in the game yet. In fact, the Bible says if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're not even living in the biblical sense of the word. God sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you, to pay the penalty for your sin, that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Jesus said, I am come that they might have what? Life, and have it abundantly. But you have to ask Him to save you. You have to ask Him for forgiveness. You have to come to Him as your Savior and your Lord. Will you receive Him by faith if you don't know Him? Trust Him and begin this amazing journey of walking by faith and allowing God to strengthen that faith, thereby giving glory to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for these lessons, Lord, just scratching the surface, really. But Father, oh, You tell us that it's faith that pleases You. Without faith, it's impossible to please You. It seems more than anything, You want to be trusted. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So, Father, we thank You for pointing us to the God of the promise, the faithful God. Strengthen Your people. Grow us in the faith for Your glory and for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.